I came to Australia when I was 13 as a refugee. I've lived here, I guess, now for 15 years. I came in 2001. Just before I came to Australia, my mom had female genital mutilation performed on me. And I now have I'm now the executive director of NoFGM Australia, which is an organization or non-for-profit organization, which works to empower survivors like myself. And we, you know, do advocacy for them and support. But also our main stance on FGM is that it's child protection. And we need to educate professionals around mandatory notification so that we can actually, you know, prevent FGM from happening to Australian little girls.
Which country did you come from, Khadija?
I was born in Sierra Leone in the west of Africa, but my female genital mutilation was done to me in Gambia, and they criminalized FGM just, I think, last month. Nigeria did at the ending of last year, and Gambia followed suit, I think, just last month.
When it happened to you, how did it happen? Who did it?
My mom, we never talked about FGM, or I didn't even know about it, and I was around the age of 9, 10, roughly, that's where I placed it. And she, just before we were about to come to Australia, we got our papers and we were told Australia was going to take us in, she came home one day and said we were going on a holiday. And she took us in a car for a drive, and we ended up in a village. And once we got to the village, this old lady came out and started having a conversation with my mom. I couldn't understand what she was saying. She went back in and came out with a rusty old knife. She went into a little hut. My mom forced me to follow. And when we got there, she took my clothes off, and then she held me down on the floor. And then this old lady came towards me with the rusty knife. I thought she was going to kill me, but she didn't. She slid down my body, and then she grabbed hold of what I now know to be my clitoris, because at the time I didn't know there was a name for it, and there's no name for it in my language, actually. But she grabbed hold of my clitoris, and then she started cutting and sawing away for what felt like hours. But then she also cut off my labia majora, my outer lips, and she cut all of that off. And I was just lying there, passing out, crying and screaming in pain, wanting it to stop, wanting my mother to get off for me. But nobody said anything. They just kept on doing what they were doing. And for what felt like hours, once this old lady was done, she threw away the flesh, my clitoris and my labia majora, like it was the most disgusting thing. And they just left me there to bleed and wonder what the hell just happened to me. And then after that, I was forced to sit on a bathtub full of Dettol, apparently to help with the healing. And that was it. No conversation ever happened after that. There was no explanation for what took place. I mean, I was so traumatized that I actually then suffered from amnesia. I totally blocked out the event. I knew I was different down there. I have this scar, and that, you know, there was some alteration. But, of course, I didn't know how different I looked to anybody else because, well, I didn't actually see other people's private parts. But I knew something had happened. I just didn't have the memories because it was that traumatic. There is no words. To this day, I still have nightmares about that incident. I still have triggers, things around me that will trigger that experience. And basically that was what was done to me. It was when I came to Australia, though, that I somewhat got my memories back and fully comprehended what had been done to me, and I have lived with the health side effects since then.
Are you able to explain for me why women do this to each other?
It's patriarchy. While the face of FGM is women, mothers, aunties, grandmas doing it to their daughters, they're just the messengers. The FGM is steeped in patriarchy and gender inequality. It's this idea that women, our body doesn't belong to us, that, you know, our sexuality needs to be controlled. And in the context where FGM is usually practiced, this idea that, you know, a girl needs to stay a virgin. Otherwise, you know, women shouldn't be promiscuous, you know. And if I remember correctly, the way it was explained to me, you know, they believe that if they cut off the clitoris, essentially, you will have no sexual desire, and apparently women don't need sexual desire, and you will stay faithful to your husband. Or in cultures where, you know, virginity is really highly prized, if they cut off the clitoris, you stay a virgin. And when you stay a virgin, when a man comes and marries in those cultures where they do want a virgin, you know, FGM ensures your virginity. But also, because girls are treated as commodities, when somebody comes to marry you, they'll pay a huge bride price, or dowry, as it's called, you know, in certain parts of the world. A huge amount of money will be paid for, you know, for you, because essentially you are a commodity to be sold off to the highest bidder. This is about the way we view women as second-class citizens, as inferior, as that our body is not ours. It's a communal thing to be controlled and dictated somehow. It's this idea that, you know, nothing should compete with the penis somehow. The clitoris is essentially in competition with the penis, and, you know, it just has to go. You know, and it goes back to that. It's a patriarchy. And yes, I know women are the face of it, but they're just the messengers doing the bidding in communities where men have been involved in the community education, where men have taken a stand against FGM. The numbers instantly went down. Men are the only beneficiaries of, you know, the ones who benefit from FGM. Women don't benefit. It's a lifelong sentence for us that we have to live with. There's not a single benefit that I can name or anybody who's had FGM can possibly name. It's a practice that's just sitting there, in a cultural one that's just been passed down from generation to generation to generation, with nobody wanting to question why we're doing this and how it's harming our girls and how our girls are dying as a result of this.
This American gynecologist is arguing that some forms of, she calls it female genital alteration rather than female genital mutilation. She says that some forms that are minimal, including things like pinpricks and nicks, which don't have long-lasting effects, she says, should be allowed. What are your thoughts on her argument?
What does this lady actually know? We recently obviously had the court case in New South Wales. I don't know if you followed the first FGM prosecution in Australia. And in that case, it was a nick that was done to the two little girls from the Bahora community, which comes from India. And they went to court and the judge said, a nick, a cut, any sort of touching or alteration to a little child's body amounts to FGM, to her private part down there, amounts to FGM. What about that is not clear to everybody else? This is the WHO has taken a stand on this. The whole international world has taken a stand. Little children's private parts should be left alone. They don't need any nick. They don't need any cut. They don't need any sort of alteration because it's not medically beneficial anyway. So why do it? I don't understand why this lady is making these claims, because how would she know what the health side effects will be years to come? She doesn't know. She hasn't experienced it. Know what it is like.
And she is comparing female genital mutilation to male circumcision. She says that a minimal approach in what she's saying is similar to male circumcision, so it's not that different.
Well, it's easy for people to say that. It's not going to be her as a four-year-old laying there and having somebody decide that your body needs to be altered before you're even a sexual being, or before you even know what that body part is called. This is dangerous, basically, where we're going with this. It's almost like we're trying to water down FGM to a point where, you know, in fact, it's not FGM anymore. It's just normalized that we think little girls and their private parts needs to be altered somehow. For what reason, though? I mean, did she come up with a reason why this kid, a child, would need any sort of alteration? FGM is not equivalent to male circumcision. The only equivalent to male circumcision would be if you cut off a man's whole penis. Then we're on equal ground. Because FGM has no health benefits whatsoever. Whatsoever. Not a single one. And she can't determine that there will be no health side effects. She can't say that for sure. She can't. And she can't guarantee that either. So years to come, we're going to have children walking around with only God knows what, and then what? Then she's going to apologize and say, I'm sorry, I couldn't foresee that. I didn't know. We're talking about a very delicate part of a child's body. And she's thinking even what she calls a little alteration. There's no such thing as a little alteration. Every sort of alteration has side effects. Every sort of surgery has side effects. But in this case, these children are healthy children. Nothing is wrong with them that needs to be fixed. That's what we should be questioning. Why is there this assumption that they need to be altered? Why is the assumption that little children's, little girls' private part needs to be altered? There needs to be altered somehow. We're talking about nerve endings. I think if you altered a nerve ending in any way, there wouldn't be ramifications. Because that's what the clitoris is. It's nerve endings. Why? It just makes I'm angry. And the reason I'm angry is that I have been that child lying there, not giving consent. I didn't consent to what happened to me. No child across the world is consenting to FGM happening to them. We don't want this to be done to us. Nobody should have the right to dictate what happens to our bodies. Nobody should have a right to alter our bodies. It's child abuse. She's trying to pretty much, you know, make child abuse normal. She's saying women who come from the communities that practice FGM should be able to walk into a clinic and request this act to be done. It is child abuse. The law is clear. There can be no loopholes created. She's trying to create a loophole. And that's very, very dangerous. Why are we not focusing on the little kids' heart of this issue? Little children. A lot of the discussion gets done around FGM. What everybody needs to remember, the heart of this issue is little girls. It could be somebody's daughter, somebody's niece, your neighbor's child, a child that plays with your kid in the playing ground. It's about 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. That's what we're talking about, little girls. And they deserve to be protected. And they deserve to be kept safe, no matter what their culture or religion or where they come from. We can't make rules that discriminate against children. They're the most vulnerable. And if we don't protect them, what does that say about us?